Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. The Lord has been so good to me. And I'm thankful unto Him. Mark 6. I'm glad we've got a strong, fundamental church. I'm glad we rely upon the Word of God. And refresh in the Spirit of God. A lot of people trying to go to church without Him today. They leave there in worse shape than how they got there. I'm glad I've done got me some help this morning. Then I'll be satisfied. Stranger and a pilgrim down here. Abraham looked for a city where the builder and maker is God. He's looking for something a lot greater than USA stamped on it. Mark 6, verse number 30. Father, we love You today. Thank You for being good to our church. Lord, realizing it is Your church and it's Your sheep. God, we are the sheep of Your pasture. You're the great shepherd. If I've ever realized anything in my years of preaching, I realize You're the one that does it all. And I pray now You'd help us, use us to be a blessing this morning. Touch hearts. Touch lives, homes. Heal hopes this morning. Touch us and help us. In Jesus' name I ask You. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to run a few rabbits probably while I'm reading, but appreciate you standing honoring the text of the Word of God. Mark 6, verse number 30. I'm going to be also in John chapter number 6. Mark 6. And then John 6. I'm going to try to do a little teaching preaching this morning. I think that'll help us. I think it's a timely message. I think just the title God give me coming down the road through a song that I heard sing. It's amazing why the Spirit of God will speak to my heart through things. There was people singing and I heard that phrase in a song. God began stirring in my heart about it. I just can't get away from it. By the way, from last Sunday, I'm glad I am a remnant. I'm glad God has stitched me in the family of God. Now, when life is pulling on me, it ain't pulling so much on a remnant, it's pulling in the life of others as well. Brother Mike made a comment at the door. I wish you'd give it to me in my sermon. He said the back of that quilt was white. I'm glad behind us it's washed in the blood this morning. I'm thankful how good God's been to us. Mark 6, watch the text. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus. That's a good place to get to. They told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Watch, He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. Rest a while. For there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. They departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them and came together unto Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, this is a desert place. And now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give you them to eat. They said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all set down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, and set them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. You know, traveling with Jesus, you get to experience some great things. Nobody has ever did things like Jesus did. And nobody can never do the things that Jesus does. Now in this text, you'll notice that he commanded them to sit down in verse 41, and this is what I want to preach out of. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, this is what I want to preach on, simple, just so simple today, but putting it in the hands of God. Putting it in the hands of God. That's a good place to put it. But I've noticed there are some issues that have to do with life about putting it in the hands of God. There was a lot of things that had taken place and had transpired before they realize, if I'll just put it in God's hands, things is going to get a lot better. Now, I want to share with you just 4 thoughts about this sermon, and we'll be through today. First of all, I'm glad that we can put our rest in God's hands. Our rest in God's hands. Now, nothing's changed today much, because in Mark 6 and 31, he said to them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going. I've never seen such a day and an hour when there's so many coming and going. I don't want to be coming in Liberty Baptist Church and going. I want to be coming and staying. We've had a lot of people coming and going. But I want to be coming and staying. You say, why, preacher? Because I know I'm going to get help at God's house. And if you are in the culture of where you're highly offended, you're not going to last too long in a Bible-preaching-believing church. Because the devil will be sure if you can be offended, he's going to blow you out real. And if somebody can say boo and run you off, you're not going to get no help for you or nobody else. You got a purpose in your heart. I'm not coming in to go, I'm coming in to stay. And then secondly, I noticed this about a culture. They were coming and going. We live in a very busy, fast-paced world. You'll notice what Jesus said. You must come apart to a desert place. We must come that our minds may rest. A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm too busy to pray and too busy to read and too busy to get quiet, then you're just too busy. Because our body physically and emotionally can only take so much of what this old world has got to offer. Before long, you're a ticking time bomb. Those saying, if you don't come apart, you're going to come apart. And so we must come apart before we come apart. And so Jesus realizes we're human. We're not superhuman. A lot of people think the preachers are superhuman. We're not. We're real people. We need time ourselves to go and let our mind rest. I hear a lot of people, as where I preach, they think their preacher, he ought to be sitting someplace on a fence post all week. But honey, let me tell you, your preacher needs some time to let his mind go rest. Jesus said, I want y'all to come apart. Not come apart to the world, but come apart with Him. Honey, when you can get some long time with Jesus, things will go to picking up. I'm glad He's somebody that He wants some time with you. When nobody else wants no time with you, Jesus wants some time with you. And He said, I want you to come apart. Unless you come apart, you will always come apart. Remember this, you better be putting some prayers in the bank. You're going to need them tomorrow. You better be putting some Word of God in the tank. You're going to need it tomorrow. And therefore, I'm glad that we can put our rest in God's hands. You know, I had to get over a long time ago mainly what people thought about me. I had to get some tough skin. But I sure am glad that I can put my rest in God's hands. Say, God, this is your time and my time. I want to say something real quick. I love the outdoors. I love the deer hunt. I can get in the stand. People make fun, but honey, let me tell you, I've had Holy Ghost meetings up on top of a tree. I love it. No phone ringing. Thank the Lord. How'd old preachers make it without a cell phone? Their lives were a lot simpler. They just found out about everything on Sunday. But oh my, could I encourage you as your preacher this morning, have a place that you come apart, or you will soon come apart. And so I'm glad that I can put my rest in God's hands. In Psalm 17 in verse number 7, what an amazing text. I'm glad I can rest in the Lord's salvation. As Brother Max said this morning, thank the Lord I don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. If you've not been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, hell will be your home. I don't care how good you're trying to be. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how much money you give unto the Lord. And Jesus told the most religious man in the Bible, ye must be born again. You can only be born by the Spirit of God. As the Word of God is preached, the Spirit of God deals with our hearts, draws us by the family of God. Then you must make a decision. Will I come unto Christ, repent of my sins, and follow Him? It's not as easy as 1, 2, 3, as many are preaching today. But honey, let me tell you, it is easy by the grace of God through faith, by bloody Calvary where He hung and died for your sin and my sin. There He shed His blood that we could all go free. Jesus died for all. But the Bible said, as many as receive Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God. You must receive Christ as your Savior. And then I'm glad I can rest in His salvation. Psalm 17 in verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that save us by thy right hand. Them which put their trust in Thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of Thy, hide me under the shadow of Thy wings. I'm glad I can rest in the Lord's salvation. Jonah was running from God. That whale spit him up on the shore. You know the first thing he cried and said? Salvation is of the Lord. Honey, it's not of Muhammad, it's not of the Pope. But it is the risen lovely one
the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, He's the lovely one. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. He is the bride and the morning star. He's the great I Am. He's everything. I'm glad I rest in His salvation. I'm glad my sins are gone. I can rest not only in His salvation, but I can rest in His strength. In Psalms 89, look at the right hand of the Lord. You'll notice He's a right-handed God. Psalms chapter number 89 and verse number 13. There the Bible says these words. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the days, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel, He is our King. I'm glad I can rest this morning, not only in the Lord's salvation, but I'm glad I can rest in the Lord's strength. The Lord's arm is not short, nor His ear heavy that He cannot save. I'm glad the right hand of God is all we need this morning. I'm glad the Lord is strong in power, strong in grace, and strong in mercy. And without Him, we can do nothing. But if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm glad there's a hallelujah. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that strengthens me. I'm glad I can put my rest in the hands of God. I can rest in my salvation. I can rest in His strength. I sure am glad I can rest in His security. Psalm 73, some of you need to listen to this verse. Psalm 73, verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before Thee. But nevertheless, I'm continually with Thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel. Oh, glory. And afterward receive me to glory. Can I read that again? Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel. And afterward receive me to glory. Thank God I'm a going home one of these mornings. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from Thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from Thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God, for I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all. Oh, glory, it's foggy up here this morning. Of all of Thy works. Hey! Oh. I'm glad I can put it in the hands of God of my rest. I'm resting in Christ. It amazes me, even when I mess up, the Lord loves me. And He loves you too. He died and took all my sins on the cross. Paid my price. Thank the Lord I can rest in the hands of God. Now I'm glad today that putting it in the hands of God, not only can I place my rest in the hands of God. Matter of fact, some of you need to nail it down if you're saved or not. John said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Honey, I'm not going through this world. The first church I was in, I was 12 years old, taught me if I'd be baptized and if I could live good enough, I could wait to see if I could make it to heaven. I got a lot better gospel story to tell than that tonight. I'm glad the Lord took my sins on the cross. I'm glad the Holy Ghost dealt with my heart. My heart repented of my sins and turned unto Christ. And He came to live in my soul. Now He walks with me and talks with me. I'm in Christ and He's in me. Thank the Lord when He sees me, He sees His Son. I'm glad when He sees me, He sees the blood. And I thank the Lord for the blood of the darling Lamb of God. Now I'm glad I can rest in God's hands. But not only put your rest, putting it in God's hands, but in John 6, turn there. I want to show you a Bible principle. And I really believe this is where the Lord wanted me to get, but the first part's been pretty good up here. I want to say not only can you put your rest in the hands of God, but I found this out and I need to apply it more. We can put all our reasoning in the hands of God. Now I want you to watch this and bear with me a minute. John 6, here's the parallel gospel story as John saw it. We just read how Mark saw it. Each one is different. A lot of you wonder why that Christ put the same teaching in each different four gospels, but yet they may allude to different situations. If there was four people coming here and went out and wrote something, they'd all write something different, but it'd all be true if the Holy Ghost inspired it. That's the way God done things. He wrote through the eyes of man, but the Spirit of God moved their hand and the heart. Now the Bible's right. Every verse in it's right. No verse in it's wrong. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. From the first beginning was God to the Revelation, the last amen. Matter of fact, it started with God and it closes with God. And so I believe it all in John 6, verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up His eyes. Now watch your text. Bear with me now. Just give me attention a few minutes. Saw a great company coming to Him. He said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He'd do. He wasn't talking to Philip because he didn't know something. He is talking to Philip because Philip didn't know something. I want to say something real quick in passing right there. Aren't you glad that the church collectively is seated in heavenly places? But the church is not a number. It's individuals. And aren't you glad Jesus knows us all by name? He turned and He said to Philip, Philip, what are we going to do to feed this crowd? This is what He said. He said, 200 pennyworth of, verse 7, of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Underline that little. You need to lose this vocabulary. That's the least we can do for somebody. Won't you check in on what's the most you can do for somebody? Just give them a little. That's the mindset of the average Baptist church. We don't want people to get a little. We want people to get a lot. You know, a little bit of religion ain't going to help you, but a lot of Jesus will make you whole. Just a little bit of preaching ain't going to help you, but a lot of preaching will help you a lot. And so, He said now, we ain't got much here that every one of them may take a little. Now, I'm glad we put the reasoning in God's hands. I want to say these three statements. Listen to me. When God comes to you and He starts talking to you as an individual, first of all, you may find out that it would be an unanticipated demand. Has God ever interrupted you in something that you unanticipated? that you didn't anticipate, that it became unto you very unanticipated, and it was a demand to you personally. I've noticed this about God. He don't speak collectively as much as He speaks personally. Philip, what you gonna do? There's a lot of hungry folk out here. Now, I want your idea about things. Philip says, well, I just wish everybody could just get a little. That ought not be our mindset at Liberty Baptist Church. We ought to say, Lord, how can somebody get their wagon loaded? Now, I'm glad we can put our reason in God's hands. Notice there was an unanticipated demand, but also there was an unfavorable development. Now notice there were 5,000 men, not counting children and women, whoever was there. But there was a development that come. There was a crisis that happened. There was a test that had come. Not only was there an unanticipated demand and an unfavorable development, but there was an unwelcome distraction. All of a sudden, He put it upon Philip. What you going to do? He didn't turn around and say, well, now there's 11 more of us standing here. You know, the Lord, isn't it something how He had come to you and asked you to do something? You remember when the storm got up in Matthew 14? This is what Peter said, my Bible hero. He said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to You on the water. Now, there's a good sermon in them boys that didn't say nothing, but I can tell you one thing. The reason that Peter went to the Lord on the water, because Jesus talked to Peter. He said, come. Now, the Lord speaks to us as individuals, and there's things that He will ask you to do that He won't ask me to do. And you ought to be glad of this statement. There's things He'll ask me to do that He don't ask you to do. Because everybody, my daddy had a saying in Tennessee, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of it. But the Lord will ask you some things personally and specifically that pertains to you. But now you always remember this. When He's speaking to you, others are involved. Do you hear me? With what you do, with what the Lord's telling you to do or asking you to do, other people are always involved. You're never in this thing by yourself. The decisions I make affect other people. The decisions you make will affect other people. I hear this a lot. Preacher, leave me alone. I ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's a lie from the devil. It always affects others. And so I want you to notice this. Philip learned something in this reasoning. I want to ask you something. Have you ever tried to figure up something? Now let's go and let's look right here what they said in John 6. And now watch this. Verse 7. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, but every one of them take a little. And then one of His disciples, watch what happens here. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was there and said to Him, hey, there's a lad here. This is so good. Which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Can I say something? Doubt and disbelief is catching. Be careful. Doubt will catch around you. I don't think we can build that building. Goes from one pew to the next pew. I don't think so-and-so can get saved. And it can't. Doubt catches. Be careful that we don't doubt God because others are listening. Leadership, it does matter that we are to pray and stay filled with the Spirit of God that we may testify and we may lead others into the things of big faith for God. Sometimes reason in God's math and my math just ain't the same. I don't know about yours. Maybe you've got a calculator. I wish you'd introduce it to me. But a lot of times I've noticed that God's calculation don't work till you implement faith.
God spoke to me last year about my mission giving. I said, now listen, Lord, I'm not working at Pepsi anymore. Now, I'm just telling you right. Lord, this ain't making sense to me. There's been some times when I've seen 5,000s and I had 5 loaves of bread and 2 little throwbacks. And I'm saying, Lord, now how's this going to work? And now, this is what, you know what his problem was, what some of our problem is? Watch this. So simple, but it's so profound. He made a calculation without Jesus. Do you hear me this morning? You can't make calculations without Jesus. And I want to say something. This is not blind faith. God gave him a word. You know what faith is? Faith is not a blind stance, a blind... Faith is taking the Word of God at what it says. He said, Philip, we got a crowd here. How are we going to feed them? He said, I ain't got a clue. He said, the refrigerator's low, nothing in the fellowship hall. Did you see after that last chili? He said, there ain't nothing but crackers left down there. How in the world are we going to feed this crowd? All of a sudden, Andrew, he took an inventory. He said, well, Philip, said, I seen a little boy here. Said his mama sent him a packed lunch. He's got 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Well, what are they among so many? He done been hanging around Philip so long he's thinking like him. But what are they amongst all? See, they both forgot about Jesus in the equation. I remember 5 families together at Liberty Baptist Church in my study. We passed one of my hats around. What everybody could give unto the Lord that week as we started our church. I remember it come in about $450 what we could take up. What everybody thought in their tithes and offerings they could do. Me and Brother Mike, I never forget, was in a storefront building and we'd done, the Lord had filled that place up in that alleyway out there by the Southern Lady. I remember on Sundays, Southern Lady was closed about 12:20, 12:30. We'd come out of church, people coming there and saying, what's all these people doing? We come in here to eat. I said, they've been eating too, but they ain't been at the Southern Lady. We ran a little old room next door in that building. Brother Joe had an architect come by me and Brother Mike sat down. I took some pictures of some buildings, gave the architect, and he said, I said, now what will that cost? He looked at Brother Mike, and he said, $600,000. I looked at Brother Mike, I said, meeting's over. But I didn't figure Jesus in the equation. Many times the Lord's asked me to do things, and it didn't make sense with me and my reasoning. And I found out this, that when the Lord asks me something, it's not to prove me because He knows about me, but it's to prove Him. He does it to prove to me who I am, but I ain't got to prove to Him who I am because He knows me inside and out. He knows what happens when I crank the windows down, somebody pulls out in front of me. I know none of y'all rednecks got them issues, but I got some issues. But Jesus knows, and a lot of times when the Lord gives us something, we start reasoning. The best thing I found out is, Lord, show me. You see, if we would quit leaving Jesus out of the equation of whatever He's asking us, or whatever our reasoning is, Lord, why have You allowed this? Did you notice this? This disrupted everything. He was doing fine, just him and that 11 also. Jesus had somebody else in mind. You ever notice that serving God, a lot of times, He has a lot of people more in mind than you? He sure does.
He's got others in mind. I'm glad we've got a God that has others in mind. Because He sent His Son to die for us. Now, I want to say this. Maybe your faith is wavering. Maybe your flesh is wanting. Maybe your fear is wandering and you're going through a great test. But putting it in the hands of God with your reason and in His great trust and its great truth. Now, instead of counting on the Lord, He was counting what they had.
A lot of times the Lord asks us something or crises arise and we start looking at everything that we have and how we're going to fix it instead of saying, Lord, show me. Lord, what we need to do now. Lord, you spoke, now how do we accomplish this? How do I get further with you? How do I accomplish that that's bothering me? This thing has come in my life and it's upset me and it's rearranged my direction. Now, Lord, I need to know, how do I handle what's handling me? Well, I want to say this Bible teaches us that we can put all of our reason in God's hands. What is our feebleness in comparison with His power? What is our feebleness in comparison with His power? The Lord can do anything. What is our emptiness in comparison with His fullness? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Heaven has our answer. Wouldn't it be a blessing this morning if you could put something in the hands of God that's bothering you? You that's never been saved and you're lost on your way to hell and eternity without Christ, it'd be a good morning that you'd put your soul in the hands of God. You see, you'll notice this when they turned around. Thirdly, not only can we put our rest in the hands of God and our reasoning in the hands of God, quit trying to figure everything out and say, God, help me. God, help me. Not only can you put your rest in the hands of God and your reason in the hands of God, but you can put all your resources in the hand of God. They brought everything they had. John 6:9 said, there's a lad here, has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. You see, if we'll just sit down, we can see Him do something. They had all the light they know to do. And let me tell you something. Walking by faith, you've got to do what God has asked you to do. Matter of fact, I penned this down, and I love this thought about the thing of obedience. You see, this thing of obedience, if faith, listen to me, I'm about done preaching. If faith is weak, obedience is the best way in which it may be strengthened. They sat down. He said, tell them all to sit down. And they sat down. If we would just get out of the way of things, and He can get all the honor and all the glory for everything. As long as you're trying to fix it by yourself, God can't get the honor and the glory. But when you bring and put it in His hands, say, Lord, you're going to have to fix this. Lord, you're going to have to do this, or it's just not going to get done. And He'll get all the honor, all the glory. Lastly, not only can we put our rest in God's hands, some of you just need to learn to rest. Let your mind rest. Come apart from this old world. Get alone with God. What a lot of you mom and daddies don't understand is this. When you bring your children out of this world on Sunday morning and put them in a Spirit of God environment, you're letting them come apart for a while. We must get apart or we will come apart. I can trust Him as Miss Sherry comes. I can trust Him with all of my rest. I can trust Him with all my reasoning. You know what amazes me about something, and then I'm just going to quit preaching. I'm not done. I'm going to quit preaching in a minute. I told Brother Mike this morning, it amazes me the people you see come to church. You say, man, you'll love this kind of church. Old-fashioned, fundamental, sang old songs, preach the old kind of way. People loving on you and hugging on you, going to the altar praying with you if you need help. And I said, man, they'll love this. You won't never see them back. And Brother Adam, you'll be preaching and you'll notice somebody look off and you'll say, well, you won't never be batting and they'll pop in there next Sunday. I mean, you're sitting there shaking your head like this. Like trying to get water out your ear. You ever tried to reason things? It's just amazing how much time I've spent trying to reason. When I lay down at night, my body shuts down, but my mind won't shut off. I'm trying to reason everything out. Now, Lord, how am I going to do this, do that? And He says, come apart, sit down. Put it in my hands. See, some of you need to get there. Because I done found out, when they put it in His hands, big things change. He done something for them they couldn't do for themselves. Number one, they gave what they had. Here it is, Lord. That's all I got. Bob knows when you give Him all you got. There's a man called me this week, a young preacher. He said, Brother Ken, I'm going to ask you something. God's dealing with me about quitting my job. I said, let me help you right there. Don't listen to preachers. Don't care how big your church is getting, how much you make. You better listen to the voice of God for you. Don't let nobody else. You better listen to the Lord. Now go ahead, what you got to say. Brother Ken, I'm just wondering. As long as you're wondering, you're not there. When you quit wondering, you're going to get some help. Trust God. Some of you worrying yourself to death. Some of you worried yourself sick. I'm glad we've got a God we can put in His hands. There's a lot of you facing things that humanly possible no man can fix. But God can. See, the devil will have you leave out the equation with God. A lot of you about to give up.